Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the HEICO Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sameer Hiremath, Managing Director, HEICO Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a very good evening to all of you, and thank you very much for joining us today for our Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings call. I am Sameer Hiremath, Managing Director of HEICO. In this call with me, I have Kuldeep Jain, our Chief Financial Officer, Manoj Malhotra, our President, Pharmaceutical Business, Vimal Kulkarni, our President, Crop Protection Business, and Strategic Growth Advisors, our Investor Relations Advisors. I trust that you had a wonderful Diwali and wish you a very happy and prosperous new year. I hope you had the chance to go through our earnings release, investor presentation, and the financial figures for the quarter. These are available on our website as well as the stock exchange's websites. On the macro level, the geopolitical uncertainties continue with the energy crisis in Europe, declining growth rates globally across sectors, and steadily rising inflation. On the supply chain front, there have been disruptions, but proactive measures and expanding our critical supplier base have contained the negative impact. As highlighted in the previous call, we have ensured that we timely deliver product as per the requirements of our customers. The first quarter of this financial year witnessed several challenges in both our businesses. The intensity of these challenges has reduced in the second quarter, and we are back on track to grow quarter-on-quarter and end the year strongly. Clients and customers aiming to diversify their supply chains continue to provide strong tailwinds for future developments and inquiries, and this provides for a healthy rebound from the lows that we touched in Q1 FY23 due to multiple internal and external challenges. Margins continue to be impacted as expected and outlined in the previous call due to steep increase in the cost of raw materials, utilities, energy, and solvent prices. Also, the rise in crude oil prices has significantly impacted freight and logistic costs. However, we have seen prices of some of the key raw materials softening and expect the trend to continue in the upcoming quarters, thereby improving our margins and profitability. Talking about the numbers for this quarter, the revenue recorded an increase of 19% year-on-year on account of a significant recovery in the crop protection business. The top line stood at 559 crores for the quarter as against 469 crores in the same period last year. Our half-yearly revenue remained flat over last year and stood at 938 crores. The margin pressure, as highlighted earlier, led to an EBITDA reduction to 70 crores, predominantly due to increase in input costs. The EBITDA for the same period last year stood at 91 crores. On a half-yearly basis, EBITDA was 92 crores. Lower operating profits as well as increased depreciation on account of asset additions and increase in finance costs due to interest rate hike resulted in a PAT level profit of 25 crores against a profit of 44 crores in the same quarter last year and a loss of 9 crores in the June quarter of this year. HEICO's long-term credit rating is maintained at A+ by ICRA. Now I'd like to hand over to our President, Crop Protection, Vimal Kulkarni, to take us through the performance of the crop protection division.
Thank you, Sameer, and good evening all participants of this call. The crop business has recorded revenue growth of 42% year-on-year with 269 crore total revenue in Q2 FY23 versus rupees 190 crore in Q2 FY22. The EBIT for the division was at 35.3 crore at a 13.1% margin in Q2 FY23 on a back of higher input cost and of raw materials, solvents and energy as against 34 crore at 18% margin in Q2 FY22. The corresponding figure of the half-year period stood at 423 crore at the top-line level and 46 crore at the EBIT level. All our plants are now operating at full capacity. Demand for our own product continues to remain strong in the domestic market, and the forecast is also higher from existing global innovator companies. Additionally, there is higher traction in the inquiries from existing as well as new customers in CDMO segment. In our own product segment, demand from our existing product remains intact from our key customers. We are also planning to complete the plant commissioning of our new fungicide plant in fourth quarter of this financial year and start the revenue accrual subsequently. We have strong new product pipeline at various stages of development to capitalize on opportunities in our business. Our CDMO business continue to receive inquiries from existing as well as new customers for new products. We are also seeing growth in our existing products. To ensure stable availability pricing of key raw materials, we have embarked upon strategic vendor development, de-risking the supply chain from China as well as backward integration to assure the appropriate raw material availability, which is on track. We are also working on cost improvement programs to improve on production cost. Now I would like to hand over to our President Pharmaceutical Manoj Malhotra to take us through the performance of Pharmaceutical Division. Thank you. Over to you,
Thank
Manoj.
Thank you, Vimal. Thank you, Vimal, and good evening to all the participants in the call. The pharma business experienced a marginal growth in revenue of 4% with rupees 290 crore total revenue in quarter 2 FY23 versus rupees 280 crore in quarter 2 FY22. The EBIT of the division stood at rupees 10.6 crore and a 3% margin in this quarter. The subdued growth is due to temporary demand softening for key products across the pharmaceutical industry, which will correct in the upcoming quarter as the business cycle recovers. The corresponding figures for the half-year period stood at rupees 514 crores at the top-line level and rupees 2 crores at the EBIT level. Fall in EBIT is attributed to the significant increase in input costs. There is softening of raw material prices, which will start showing results going forward. Our business excellence initiatives have resulted in reduction of costs, which helps in partly absorbing the impact of higher input prices. In our API business, over the year, we added several new customers and strengthened presence in new geographies such as the Middle East and Latin America. Our new product launches in anti-diabetic therapeutic area continues to witness increased traction from customers globally. We have 10 plus products in the development pipeline and are planning to launch 3-4 products in FY23. Our CDMO business continues to receive increased inquiries from existing as well as new customers. Our future pipeline for CDMO business remains robust, with multiple upcoming opportunities being worked on. Our product pipeline in all our business segment is very robust, and we have also made efforts to increase our profitability. Additionally, in order to increase yield and solvent recovery for our products, we are working on a number of cost improvement initiatives. FY23 was always going to be our year of consolidation and rebuilding. We are on track in spite of several market headwinds. Quarter 2 FY23 showed a resilient performance, and this momentum will continue in the next two quarters, resulting in us ending the financial year on a strong note. Now I'll hand over back to our Managing Director, Mr. Sameer Hemant, for the rest of the call.
Thank you, Vimal and Manoj. With our business heads having talked about their respective businesses, I would like to take you through some of our other key priorities that we are working on as part of Project Pinnacle. We have been transforming our business while continuing to drive profitable growth. Over several quarters, we have partnered with a globally renowned consulting firm and have identified the right strategic direction for choosing suitable products, partners, and technologies for the future, while bolstering our R&D and manufacturing capabilities. These efforts have started to yield results and have helped steady the business for now, and we expect these to take off and substantially contribute to our growth in the future. Coming to the animal health business, this is one of our key growth drivers and is steadily growing as per our internal plans. Development of processes for multiple active pharmaceutical ingredients as part of the multi-year animal health project with the leading inventor is progressing well. A dedicated multi-purpose manufacturing facility is under construction and expected to come on stream by the first quarter of FY24. We are in a strong position to leverage our deep connections and relationships with global innovators to become a partner of choice in this space, owing to our capabilities of handling complex chemistries, our track record, and our ability to provide end-to-end support in developing processes, new technologies, complex molecules, and providing the option of scaling up products quickly and flexibly. With this, we now open the floor to your question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one on your touchtone telephone. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anjana Shah from Shah Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, sir. But before I ask my questions, I would just like to take a moment to congratulate you on your performance this quarter. So, sir, as you know, you had indicated in the previous call, I'm happy to see that the company has stayed true to its commitment of a sequential recovery. And it's good to see a robust growth. And, you know, with additional capacities becoming functional, plus the multi-year animal health contract, I'm assuming, is also coming on stream in due course. So I think it's only a matter of time that we achieve our accelerated growth objectives. I mean, having followed this company for over years, I'm just glad to see it back on its path of recovery, and it's time for a very strong footing. So congratulations on that, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, sir.
So, I have two questions, mainly, and they're basically a way forward perspective. So, the first one is, sir, I said that Q2 was significantly better than Q1, and we expect Q3 and Q4 to be even better. So, how confident are we to beat the FY22 revenue at the end of the year?
Well, thanks for that question. I think we're pretty confident of beating the overall revenues for the year. And as you rightly said, and I mentioned in my last call, we expect a sequential recovery, and Q3 and Q4 will be better than Q2. We'll end the year back on a strong note, and Q4 will come back to pre-2020.
Sure. So secondly, we clocked 550 crore revenue this time in Q2. Can it be safe to assume that we can maintain this run rate of 550 crores each quarter going forward?
Yeah, I think we'll do slightly better than that quarter on quarter. We'll keep on improving every quarter.
Sure. That was really helpful, sir. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, please enter star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Ashit Koti, individual investor. Please go ahead. Ashit, your line has been unmuted. Please.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I would like to know two things, if you could update. When exactly CDMO is going to start contributing to the top line and bottom line? And the main question is, when are we going to again reach the level of upbeat and what we have seen in the con calls and second quarter and third quarter of 22?
Sorry, I heard your first question, but I couldn't hear your second question. It was very unclear. Can you please repeat the second question?
June 21 and September 21. The upbeatment which was there, when do we see that we need the same upbeatment?
Okay, thanks. So I think you had two questions. You said, when is CDMO going to start contributing to the business? Our new capacity will come on first quarter of next year. So from next year, you will see a big shift in our business. As I mentioned earlier, we are moving towards a hybrid model of CDMO and own products, and that's well underway. So next year itself will be a large part of our business will shift on the pharma side towards the CDMO. Crop is already primarily CDMO driven, and we're getting several new launches on the CDMO space while we're seeing opportunities in the, on the own product space. That's the first question. The second question is, when do you expect to see the business go back to September 21 type of levels? I think we expect that to start happening from early part of next financial year.
So it would be basically 24, financial year 24 and 25.
Yes, early part of financial year 24. Q1, Q2.
Thank you. Yes. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please enter star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Carnelian. Please go ahead. Kunal, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Yeah, so congratulations in the first place to Samir and his team for a good set of numbers. I have a few questions. First question being on the CAPEX part, right? So if you could just help summarize, I mean, what CAPEX goes live when in both crop and pharma segment, because crop, I believe, we are already done with the maximum utilization levels that can be there.
Yeah, so I'll answer that and I'll add it over to my CFO to give you specific numbers. So the crop CAPEX is the big plant is going to get commissioned by Q4 of FY23, that is next quarter, while the pharma current CAPEX in the animal health business will come on stream by Q1 of FY24. That's where we expect the CAPEX is to go on stream, to be commissioned.
Okay, okay. And this crop CAPEX, which is going to come on stream in Q4 FY23, what amount have we spent, which is going to come on stream from Q4?
Will be overall CAPEX will be close to 300 crores that will come on stream by Q4.
Okay, fair enough. And the question basically was on the balance sheet side. So I see that on quarter on quarter, our debt has gone up marginally from 690 odd crores to 742 odd crores. So we are yet very comfortable on the net debt to equity levels. But any sense on that? And also second question being, we do have a CWIP of 306 odd crores still there in the balance sheet. So this pertains largely to the crop plant, which is going to basically come on stream from Q4. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, I think Kuldeep, CFO, why don't you take that call?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is the largely part of the CAPEX, which we are planning for in the capitalization in the next quarter, fourth quarter four.
Okay. And on that part, anything?
That part, basically, if you look at from the direct equity, we are still well within the limits permitted under the bank regulations, and we will maintain that.
Okay, 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 okay. Fair enough. And the question basically was on the margin front, right? So you did allude to, right, that incrementally margins would be better going forward on a quarter-on-quarter basis, it would see improvement, and also September 21 levels would be there from next year, first quarter onwards. I just wanted to understand in the current revenue that we have done, right, just to get a sense of how much that is led by inflation, because obviously some part of the revenue growth would also be on account of inflation, right? So if you could just give a sense of what how much would be the revenue growth would be on account of inflation, volumes? If you could just help give some sense on that particular aspect would be helpful.
Well, volume growth for the quarter was 12% year on year. And for H1, we had a volume growth was slightly lower. It was slightly negative because of the Q1, as you know, shut down in our crop side. But Q2, we had a growth of 12% in volume growth in absolute terms.
and product mix.
Fair enough. Cool, cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please enter star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good sequential performance. So first question is on the animal healthcare vertical. Now, you mentioned that the plant is likely to go on stream by Q1 FY24. But earlier, if I'm not wrong, from the earlier conversations, the product validations will start in FY24 and the revenue contribution is expected from FY25. So once the plant is started, do we have to submit the trial quantities in the initial part and the commercials only will start after 1 year, or what is the sense that we are getting currently? Thank you.
So that's part of the plan. I mean, initially you have to do the DMF filing from the plant and the validation batches, which will be used up the first year of the commissioning. And in the second year onwards, the commercial supplies will start as and when the different markets open up and the different approvals come back. We're doing global launch for our products in all different geographies all around the world. So some markets will come faster, some may take a little longer. But from year two onwards, commercial supplies will start.
All right. And any numbers that we can provide in terms of what will be the capitalization for this particular plant and what kind of revenue potential that it will have maybe at peak or after the second year?
See, we are working towards a 1.5 asset turnover ratio, as I mentioned earlier, and we'll meet those norms with an EBITDA margin well in excess of what we have historically pre-September 21 numbers, well over 20% EBITDA margins. That's all I can tell you on the guidance. We are bound by confidentiality in the contracts with our customers to give any specific numbers and, yeah.
Fair enough, sir. So second question is on the crop protection. So I think you mentioned that currently the plants are running at optimal utilization and the capitalization for the new project is likely to happen in Q4. So for Q3 and Q4, do we have any spare capacity or probably we will be hinged to the current run rate of what we have done in Q2?
So thanks for the question. So our plants are currently operating around 90% of the capacity, so which is almost full. We have around 10% capacity available, spare, which based on any new demand which can be fulfilled. And we are also working on many, you know, debottlenecking projects also of the capacity, which is a continuous process for us. So that also will keep doing to improve capacity of the plants. Does it answer your question?
Yes, sir. That's fairly good. One last question on the overall performance. So given that the raw material prices, inflation will come back to normalcy and the demand environment will start picking up, when do we see the normalized performance in terms of top line growth as well as margins of say 18 to 20% which we had guided earlier that we are on a quarterly basis. Will it happen in Q2 FY24 or will it take slightly longer than that? Thank you.
No, I think that earlier caller also asked a similar question and we expect it to start from Q1 and or Q2 latest FY24. This is as per current estimates. And because there still remains a lot of global uncertainty and things could change, but we feel that currently, based on where we see the business today, between Q1 and Q2 of next year, we should be able to get back to September or December 21 type of margin levels. Yeah. And
all right. Just one last clarification on the Taloja issue. Any new development that you want to share? Thank you.
No, there's nothing. The plants are running at full capacity and they're operating at optimal capacity. There's nothing.
Sure. Thanks a lot for all the answers and best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Samir and team. Congratulations for sequential recovery. So the first question is, so you mentioned that on the crop protection side, 300 crore capex will get capitalized and animal health will come on stream next year. So both put together, you know, so we are doing 2000 crore run rate revenue before issues came. So after both this capex, you know, will it increase our revenue potential by 40-50%? Is that a good understanding?
Well, if the new capex is that they're doing both of them for the crop protection and the animal health, we'll have an asset turn 1.4 to 1.5 times. It takes, at peak, it takes about 2 years to get to peak, 2 to 2.5 years, depending on the segment. Crop segment is slightly faster than the animal health or pharma segment. So between 24 to 30 months, we'll get to peak utilization of the plants, and that time we'll generate an asset turn of close to 1.5. So you can add that. It'll have a significant upside over the next 2 years to our business of our company and improvement in our margins.
Okay. And second question, you mentioned something about, you know, we pivoting more towards CDMO, you know, in pharma from next year onwards, and animal health may be one of the things that will add to that. But so we were doing 20-21% margin till, you know, June, September 21. So this pivoting more towards CDMO, will it change the margin profile from, you know, 21% to a significantly higher number? Is that a right understanding, or, you know, the normalized margin in CDMO also is equivalent to what we were doing earlier?
No, I think the 20-21% margin that we had was a blended margin for the company in the past. It was 19-20%. That included our generic as well as CDMO projects, products. Even our old, our current CDMO projects, products are well in excess of 20%. And the new CDMO products that we're getting are well above 20%. So 20% is a blended margin that we were achieving historically. So any new CDMO molecule that we're getting, and Manoj, probably you want to jump in and talk about that.
Yeah, thanks, mate. So CDMO business definitely gives in more gross margin as well as EBITDA margin. Our effort is to focus more on the CDMO business, where we have good customer traction and good discussions going on at this moment. Those results will start coming in FY23 and FY24. Overall, we would like our API and CDMO business to be close to 50-50.
So the proportion is not going to materially change, right? That's going to remain.
No, if you see last year, it is more of last say 18 months or so, it's more like say 55-60% for API. CDMO has been subdued because of some of our base customer demand being a little low. But as we added more customers, it will go to 50-50 in year one or so. And going forward, it will definitely, we would like to move it more to a 60-40 ratio. But having said that, our hybrid model of focusing both in CDMO and API will continue. So we will keep filing new DMFs for own API sales, as well as we'll keep scouting new customers for CDMO.
And so I think one more question on pharma, Manoj. So I think what we hear is that in agri, the recovery is much faster. In pharma, we, you know, we are still kind of navigating through challenges. So can you describe the specific challenges either on the product side, market side, customer side? That will be helpful.
The main issue in pharma has been the increase in input costs for APIs as well as the CDMO business. On the API side, because of various market conditions and extent of competition and price erosion in the US and other regulated markets, we have not been able to pass on the cost increases. But on the CDMO side, yes, we have a more transparent cost model, although there's a lag, but we are able to pass on those cost increases to customers. But we are seeing now that the raw material prices are softening, and we have already seen some improvement in this quarter. We still hold some inventory of raw materials, so we had benefits only in part of this quarter too. But going forward, Q3 and Q4, we'll see recoveries in the margin for API business, as well as some pass-through costs of CDMO will also start coming in. So yes, there will be recovery of margins in quarter 3 and quarter 4.
And how about the volume, volume recovery and volume growth?
Yeah, see, volume growth, if you really see, if you have seen our investor presentation, API business volume is good. CDMO was a little subdued because of our base customers. There was some inventory correction, which will stop in 2022. So 2023, from the first quarter onwards, in my view, we'll be back to normal volume and margins.
Okay, great. Thanks. That was very useful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity. And congrats for good recovery on a sequential basis. Sir, if I look at the margins of the pharma segment during the quarter, we have come back to the positive territory of around 3.65% during the quarter. And we have historically also generated almost 17-18% kind of EBIT margins. So when do you think we'll be reverting back to at least 15% plus kind of EBIT margins in the pharma segment?
Manoj, do you want to answer that?
Yeah, see, it's a little uncertain at this stage. We'll definitely see improvement in Q3 and Q4 because the raw material prices have softened. And if the same trend continues, I think another, I'll say, if I take a guess, 3 quarters, it will be back to where we were. And going forward, as we kind of leverage our scale and add new products, it will increase beyond, say, 3 to 4 quarters.
Sure. So we'll come back to those kind of margins, mid-teen kind of margins, let's say, by Q1, Q2 of next year is what we can expect safely?
Yes. Provided the same softening of raw materials continue. See, that is the fundamental driver which put us down. All our products are doing well. They have reasonably good demand, apart from some inventory correction here and there. Customers continue to have full faith in us. As and when the raw material prices start coming down, which we are seeing, if the same trend continues, yes. What you are saying, sometime in the middle of next year, we'll be back to where we were a year ago. So.
Sure. And on pharma side itself, you know, I had the second question regarding our own products on the API side. I was looking at the DMF filing of the company, and since April 2018, we have filed just, you know, 5 DMF, including 1 sitagliptin, which was, you know, filed twice. So and another was favipravir, which was largely the COVID drug. So last, you know, four years, we have just filed 4 products DMF. So, you know, what is the strategy on the new product front, and why are we, you know, filing less DMF? I understand you have earlier stated that, you know, we only file for DMF for products which we want to launch. But within a span of 4 years is too low for a company of our size, and what is our strategy on DMF filing and launching this product going forward?
So I think the data needs to be rechecked because we have filed some more DMFs which are coming to fruition. Sitagliptin itself has 3 grades of sitagliptin. Then we have other molecules like amoxicillin, lacosamide, dapagliflozin, empagliflozin. All those have been filed. And we are working on various, getting the supply chain right. And as we go forward, we will improve. As we go forward and the patent expires, we'll start commercializing these products. This year itself, we have already filed 1 DMF, which is Desvenlafaxine, which is in public domain. 3 more are getting filed in the next 4 months. So overall, the run rate of 3 to 4 DMFs will remain. And as we stated earlier, that we want to file DMFs where we believe we have a strong process position and we'll commercialize them at a minimum revenue of 50 crores per DMF. That's our business policy and we will maintain that.
Sure. And on CDMO products on the pharma side, how many products are we launching, or how many products do we expect our innovators to launch during the current year and FY24?
on the CDMO side, it's a little confidential. We are not, we do not disclose all the information, but I can only say that the pipeline is strong for CDMO products. And going forward, we will see results coming in FY24 onwards.
And I'm not asking about the numbers, but if you can just state how many products you plan to launch during FY24 on CDMO side.
The CDMO, I'll say at least 2 to 3, depends on the launch strategy of the customer. And on the animal health side, as Samir already mentioned, and that's also a kind of a semi-CDMO product. Those products will go into validation next year and commercialization in FY25 onwards. So there is a good pipeline for CDMO products.
Sure. And is the 50-60% CDMO to own product ratio that you have talked about, over the next, over the medium term, do you think, you know, is this including the farm, the animal health APIs or the animal health contract, or is this including, excluding those segments?
Excluding animal health. Animal health we are going to track separately going forward. So that will be tracked separately. But this I'm talking of on the human health side.
Sure. And one question on the balance sheet front. You know, we have a CWIP of 306 crore. So we have the fungicide product project which is coming on stream of by Q4. So and we also have the animal health contract project which is also coming on stream by, let's say, Q1 of next year. So if you can give us a breakup, you know, how much amount will be spent on the fungicide project and how much on the animal health on a combined basis, let's say, you know, we have already spent X money on fungicide and X money on the animal health, and X money is or Y money is remaining to be spent.
Yeah, Kuldeep, why don't you take this?
Yeah, sure. So we had a capital work in progress to 309 crore during this September quarter end. We expect to spend another 192 to 100 crore in the H2, and we expect to capitalize this animal EMP project too. This is fungicide. We still believe that we will have CWIP of 150 to 160 crore by end of March. We can't really give you any numbers regarding this fungicide and animal health.
So in total, we'll be spending almost 500 crore on both these projects, is what our expectation is.
Yes.
Okay. And on agro, we have seen very strong traction and we have reported our highest ever sales in the segment. But our margins, although they have improved sequentially over the and have touched, you know, 13%, but we have earlier also touched 20% kind of EBIT margin. So when do you expect we can reach to those kind of EBIT levels over the next few quarters?
Yeah, so I'll take this question. This is Vimal. So we expect these margins to improve sequentially on quarter-on-quarter basis, and we expect that year-on-year basis we'll see improvement of 100 basis point or so.
Sure. And this last question on our existing plants. Samir, you stated that with our current capacity, we can touch 2,200 crore of annual revenue. So, is there a possibility of debottlenecking from the existing setup so that we can increase our capacity at our existing plants?
Yeah. So, as we have already mentioned in this call itself, that we continuously work on our plants on many projects to debottleneck our capacities, and that's a continuous process for us, and that we do on all manufacturing excellence projects.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Bularia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, there is one BAC announcement on 19th October saying that you need to submit your comments on the NGT Joint Committee report. So, what are the timelines and what are the salient comments by this report? if you can share with us?
Well, the NGT report is only a report, and it has been, as you mentioned, it has come out in October 19. We have been given time to file the response till January 2023, and we're making the appropriate representations and filing our responses accordingly.
Any financial penalties has been suggested in that report, if you can tell us that?
Yes, they have given some numbers in the report financially, but it is a question that we have taken it up with them, and the numbers are being discussed with NGT. They put a number in the report, but they've given us an opportunity to hear our side before they finally decide on the order. The order has not been passed. It is only a report right now, and they've given us an opportunity to respond to the report, and then they will finalize the order based on our hearings from HICL and the representation made by HICL.
So this entire process would be about 6-9 months from here on?
At least, maybe even longer.
Okay. Yeah. That's it from my side. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Kumar from Individual Investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations and thanks for the good set of numbers. So my question is like on the same line, like regarding this, compensation, like how much impact that we might have in case if our legal team is not able to, defend.
This is the operator. We have the line for management reconnection.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Sorry, you got disconnected.
Congrats and thanks for the good set of numbers. My question is on the same line, sir. This regarding that, compensation amount, like how much impact that we might have in case if we are not able to defund it?
Well, first of all, the number has not been finalized yet. It's just a recommendation. The representation by HICL will take place over the next few months, and the hearings will take place. After that, there will be a joint committee discussion, and we have been given opportunity to make our point of view. And if you look at historically, I don't know what will be the final outcome of this report, but even if we have to, the chances of us being asked to pay the entire amount is extremely low. There are several recourses and history of NGT recommendations made in the past for all chemical incidences in the past have resulted in stays by the Supreme Court. And even if any amounts have to be paid, they've been very nominal amounts. So we don't expect have to have any material impact or any significant impact on the operations of the company as and when it does get decided.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participant, the next question is from the line of Aman Vora from Premier Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and good sequential improvement in our numbers. I just want to understand more on the pharma side. So a few quarters back, we've been talking that we are negotiating with our customers to actually go for the pass-through clause, and we have been having inventory reduction at the end of the customers. So what is the outlook here on the pharma side over the near term and a medium term outlook, if you can also share?
Manoj,
want to
take this?
Yes. So on the pharma side, CDMO, yes, we have multiple contracts and they are in various stages of negotiation with customers on the pass-through cost. And as we had mentioned, there is always a lag of almost 6 to 9 months, in some cases almost a year. So we have been successful in a few to pass on, and some will come in 2023.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And sorry if I missed this point. I really want to understand the aggressive capex that we are doing. Can you just share a bit share some light on how we are funding the capex and what are our plans for funding the capex?
Yeah, Kuldeep, our CFO, why don't you take this?
Yeah. So we are having sufficient internal accruals. So we are one-third we are investing from the internal accruals, and two-thirds we are borrowing from the banks.
Okay, and we had also working out an arrangement with IFC. Any update on that?
Yeah, so IFC already approved $50 million.
Okay, so we received that money?
Yeah, we are withdrawing in the phases.
Okay, perfect. And just one last question I want to understand. Like last call, Sameer, you highlighted that gradually in FY24, starting FY24, we should get back to the margins that we were doing pre, like say December, like Q3 F22, the kind of margins we were doing in 3Q F22, we should get back to those and then grow further from there. So do we hold on to that guidance or any change in that seeing the current scenario?
No, I think we still are confident on that guidance based on the current situation. Based on where we are today, we see that by Q1, Q2 of next financial year, we should be able to get back to the old margins and growth profile.
Perfect, perfect. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining our quarterly earnings call and for your continued interest in our company. As I've spoken over the last call, FY23 was going to be our year of consolidation with a sequential recovery quarter to quarter. We have demonstrated just that with our Q2 performance, which is significantly better than Q1. And with a strong conviction that this will only get better over the course of the second half of this year. We are in an excellent position to get back to business as usual and prepare for accelerated growth. Thanks to the resilient built-in, the process improvements, cost improvement measures, the business excellence efforts, we feel that we have persevered through the difficult times because of our dedication to an openness with all of our stakeholders. Just as our business heads, our CFO and I have talked about our business and performance over the previous quarter and the half year, the upcoming business pipeline, which continues to be robust for both the businesses, I would like to reiterate the same message and conviction. We believe that with our plants running at optimum capacity, with the debottlenecking initiatives underway, and the additional capacities coming on board in the next few quarters, along with the new product launches and other exciting opportunities coming our way, we will achieve all our targets that we have been guiding for over the past few quarters. With that, I would like to close this call. Should there be any further questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations partner, Strategic Growth Advisors. Stay safe and take care. Thank you very much.
On behalf of Hyker Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.